Hi, and welcome to the Microphiles, where we talk about all things funky. Firstly, though, I'd like to thank all of those of you who support us on Patreon. That means a lot to me, and it makes these episodes happen. So thank you very much. So don't forget to visit us at Patreon if you haven't done that already. Drop in and say hi, or visit us on our Facebook page, Microphiles, or of course, microphiles.com.au. In this episode, we'll be talking to a friend of mine, Martin Martini. I've known Martin for nearly 20 years. He's a very interesting fellow, an artist, musician, gardener, cook, and of course, a passionate mushroom hunter. He lives up on the south coast of New South Wales and gets around. And as he says, it's not that he goes mushroom hunting, he's always mushroom hunting. So we have a wide-ranging chat in this episode. Sit back, have a listen. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, Martin. How's your day been?
It's been good.
What have you been up to?
Gardening.
Gardening.
And I already told you this, Mr. Russell.
I know. You've been gardening under a koala. I mean, that almost sounds like a new constellation in the stars.
No, yeah, I was lucky enough to be gardening under a koala today. But, yeah, pulling out weeds for 8 hours, adding mushroom compost to a garden and just, feeding a garden pretty much all day. Now I'm here. And I'm about to plant roses, so...
Well, first of all, did you see any mushrooms today? Any fungus today?
I found the red-headed thing. It's a la- I don't know the scientific name. Something Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. Really.
Yes, I know the one. Red top, grey kind of gills, grey brown gills, yes. Underneath. Always comes up in mulch. I can never remember its name either.
Anyway, I saw one of those and something else I don't know growing off like a some weird bracket thing growing off of a sleeper, which I also know what that's called, but I can't think of what that's called off the top of my head. But I'm going to put some photos of that on my Instagram tonight, check that one out.
Well, I was flicking through your Instagram before, and, you know, tell me the story of the morels. What are they doing there? You got a morel season in autumn up there?
So, you know, I lived in Melbourne my whole life and then I fell in love with a girl from Unangary about 3 or 4 years ago, and then I came up here and I was devastated because back maybe around 5 or 6 years ago I'd only eaten 3 or 4 mushrooms and they were the ones that you'd been eating in Victoria.
Yeah.
I hadn't even eaten the garrigas before, but, you know, just the usual suspects. I'd eaten morels. I'd found a couple of really good patches of morels out in Newstead and out in Glen Lyon. In Victoria. If anyone is looking for morels in September, apparently Newstead is the place to find them.
Oh.
And I know that I'm happy to give that info out because a friend of mine bought a house in Newstead and he discovered in this house was this old cookbook, a handmade cookbook with like 40 morel recipes in it.
Wow.
So for whatever reason, someone that had been living in the area had found so many morels that they had written all of these different recipes for morels. But the problem with morel season, as you know, is it lasts a week at the most. And if you're not out looking for mushrooms in that week, then
forget it.
Goes past.
Yeah, yeah. But the ones in your Instagram, they're from Brisbane, yeah?
Yeah, there's one that's been found in Brisbane. And I just call that a Brisbane CBD morel. But it's that was found 5 kilometres from the central business district.
This time of year?
This time of year. So because we're in the subtropics, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my luck. I thought that it was going to work the opposite way. I thought, fuck, mushrooms, we're not going to find as many mushrooms as I could in Victoria, but it's the opposite. Our season starts in January here, and it goes through to, well, it kind of goes all year.
That's why you moved, isn't it? It wasn't love, it was mushrooms.
Depending on the rain as well, but it goes, you know, I'm still picking mushrooms now, it's July, and the morels seem to come up. I guess we're just 2 or 3 months in front of you guys with mushrooms. So if you're picking mushrooms in September, we're picking them two to three. I've seen, morels have been coming up for the last 6 weeks. And there's been 3 or 4 really good finds up here. Up, like up in the Sunshine Coast and then Brisbane and then Byron Bay as well. So there's a yellow morel that's just been found in Byron Bay and a lot of them, about 200 in fact, and they taste amazing.
Like so they're really... Are they like the blonde ones that you see photos of from Kentucky and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And they're smoky. They taste smoky and they taste like... They taste like they're very smoky and barbecue-y and but very good. I don't know. I'm not very good with the descriptive words. And I didn't try the Brisbane morel. I'm just trying to grow it. So I stuck it in a jar of water with some honey, and that's as far as I've got.
All right, let's... Since you're just rubbing it in with the glory of your fungus world up there, what's been the highlight that you've found so far over the last, say, 6-12 weeks?
Yeah, well, as I was going to say, when I was in Victoria, I found the birch bolli, and that tasted really good. Like, I haven't actually tasted a puccini before.
Can I be controversial?
Yeah.
I tried the ones from South Australia, and I've tried the ones from the handful that come out of here, Victoria. And I'm going to say the terroir, whatever you want to call it. But as far as compared to the European ones, they're just not interesting. They've really just got nothing to them.
Well, that's interesting. I was really surprised at how good the birch bolli. Is there another name for the birchy? I call it the birchy, the one that grows under the silver birch. And it's got a snakeskin pattern on the stem. But it kind of, I guess it looks like a puccini. But it's kind of got a snakeskin pattern on it.
It's darker.
Was, yeah, and a darker top and a white underneath.
Yeah.
They don't have gills. They don't have gills, do they?
They've got the sponge-like structure. Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, I found two of those. I gave one to a restaurant who I was trying to get a free meal off. The other one, I literally just sliced the other one and folded it through a pasta, and that was like it was like eating a tongue. It was like... tonguey. It was magnificent.
For a vegetarian, how do you know what a tongue tastes like?
I was a meat eater for many years, and then I think I've been a vegetarian for 15 years now.
Right. Well, it's a strong memory of tongue then, obviously.
Texture is like a tongue. So not necessarily the taste of eating a tongue, but you know when you stick your tongue in? You know when you tongue?
I'll just keep pitching them. You keep hitting them, all right?
It was very tonguey, but anyway.
Just tongue in cheek.
It was beautiful. It was very beautiful. And the other one I found, which we probably should talk about, is the Chlorophyllum brunium, which is, there's a whole lot of mushrooms that kind of, if you're a beginner or you're looking for mushrooms, they all kind of look similar.
Yeah.
So the brunium and the molybdides and the dolichola and the... Procera, which doesn't grow here, and the Clalandi, they're all very similar when they're young, and they're not really, but if you're just starting out, you could get confused between them all. But that one, surprisingly, was a big, it threw a lot of punches with its flavour. It was amazing flavour as well.
Where do you get your information about being able to pick out the different species?
Well, you've got to read a lot of books, and then you've just got to make friends with a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. I'm buying more and more books. So I've been buying this guy called David Aurora's books, and he's cool. I find that the brunium that I found is around the corner from my parents' house that I lived at for 20 years or whatever. And I know that mushroom was there 10 years ago, and I walked past it but didn't eat it because I thought it was poisonous. I know I'd seen it before. But I guess just with time and experience and talking to people, it just changes. So I also believe that there's more mushrooms within 200 metres of your house than anywhere else always as well. for two reasons. Because if you actually spend more time in those areas, you'll notice more mushrooms. And then the other theory I have is that mushrooms are... if you're into mushrooms, then mushrooms will kind of follow you around.
I do believe in that. I mean, especially if I show up in a forest, for example, and I'm a little angsty and I'm in a hurry and my head's not in the right spot, damned if I can find anything. But you can almost hear them laughing at you, I think. It's like, all right, sit down, pat the dog, look at the trees, listen to the birds. Where are you? Why are you here? And then they're there.
Yeah, the amount of mushrooms that I've found... like within 500 metres of my house. Like, I actually don't ever go mushroom hunting. I'm just always mushroom hunting. So, and I'm always, I'm always picking them up and I'm always putting them in my car on the dashboard and I'm always putting them in my hat. And then I think what's going on is...
You are becoming a fungus.
No, but it's true. The spores go into your hair and then the wind, you might go into the garden, do some weeding or feed the chickens or the duck.
Oh, I see where you're going.
And then the wind blows the spore. You know, I've been living here for 4 years and I've never seen the dolly trawler here, which I've been eating for 3 years now, and then it started coming up in the yard. So I know that that's because I've spent a lot of time with that mushroom.
And you've been bringing the spores in with you?
It gets in your clothes, you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, yeah.
In your hands, in your hair. All right, I'm going to wind this up in a minute so you can go plant some roses. So I want to ask, though, what kind of mushroom person do you describe yourself as? See, there's people that are very conservative, but I would say that you're probably on the other end of the scale.
When I was in I walked the overland track in Tasmania and I ate quite a few mushrooms on that walk that I probably shouldn't have eaten. There's this thing that they talk about in mushrooms where you convince yourself that something is something. Like I ate something that I stupidly, I thought it was a chanterelle. I was like so determined on that walk to find a chanterelle that I ended up convincing myself that this mushroom that wasn't a chanterelle was a chanterelle.
Right.
And ate it. I ate two or three of them. And, you know, I was, you know, two or three days away from any help.
But you're here, so that's not a bad
thing. Well, I said to my wife at the time that I said to her, I actually believe that I can look at a mushroom, and this is stupid, but I look at a mushroom and go, I can tell if it can be eaten or not, which is stupid because you can't. I mean, that's bad. It's bad advice. But I think I'm getting to the point now where I can look at a mushroom and go, well, actually, that looks like you could eat it.
So I think we'll leave it here because I think that's enough of anybody listening to us talk about mushrooms really needs to endure. And you can go and plant some roses. Thank you for your time. Catch you in the mushroom fields. Ciao.
Thanks, mate. Ciao.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Microphiles and enjoyed listening to Martin as much as I enjoyed talking to him. For those of you who want to know, the red thing that Martin was talking about at the start of the episode. Forgive me for my pronunciation, but I think this is how you say it. Liratiomyces cerez is the best that I can do in pronouncing that name. I'm sure you can find it in the notes that I leave with this episode and look it up for yourself. Thank you again. Don't forget to visit us at Patreon and on our Facebook page and, of course, at microfiles.com.au.